Want to try a free sample?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
You only eat after you're walking 10,000 steps.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. I'm Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock. It's time to recap Monday Night Football. Also take a look ahead to the upcoming week's games. As we got you here on the show for the next hour every day, for those of you in the middle of the fantasy football season, we got you covered. And certainly, Davis, interesting turnout last night in the game that I would have probably thought that New England had a great shot to win, maybe even cover, but it completely went the other way. The Chicago Bears, dominant from start to finish, second time they've been underdogs of 9 points or more this season and won the game on the road outright. The NFL's just been wacky this season, and last night was another one of those.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's pretty much all about Justin Fields. It was the best game of his career thus far on third downs. Get into lots of third and longs and get saved by your quarterback. That's pretty much the recipe that the Bills use to win all these games. That's the recipe that the Chiefs use to win all these games. I think it's certainly a big explanatory variable for why the Buccaneers have been so horrible this year. They in years past have just waited for Tom Brady to get them out. And Justin Fields was immaculate on third downs last night, ran for multiple first downs, 14 rushing attempts, 82 rushing yards, back-to-back 80-plus rushing yard games from Justin Fields, the most designed rushes of his career, 11 designed rushes. There's never for a field start been more than 5 designed rushes in a game before. So feels like the Bears coaching staff kind of took a look at the film and said, you know, asking Justin Fields to be Tom Brady, not really working, you know, not asking him to sit back and dissect the coverage on third and long. So let's get him in space. Let's get him moving. And I've been, I've been up and down on Fields. And probably the more interesting thing of that game was Mac Jones, you know, getting benched for Bailey Zappi. Unclear what direction that team is going to take going forward. But there was just a lot going on in that game for sure.
Yeah, the Zappi played very well for about 10 minutes, and then the rest of the game did nothing. Sort of a strange deal for New England. Who knows where they go to? All right, let's get to our headlines because we had a trade also in the NFL we want to talk about here. As the Bears had 3 interceptions, and they dominate the Patriots on Monday Night Football from the point of halftime on. It was just all Chicago. The New York Jets have acted quickly in losing Breece Hall. They've added James Robinson for a late-round pick. So we'll talk about the fantasy ramifications there. The Colts are going to start Sam Ellinger for the rest of the season. Probably a good move to try something new. Ben Simmons, unfortunately, fouls out again as the Nets lose to the Memphis Grizzlies. We'll talk NBA a little bit later on the show when we take a look at our daily fantasy preview. But let's get to this trade the Jets make. Of course, we saw Travis Etienne get the most snaps he's gotten in his young career in the NFL. James Robinson obviously has had a nice career with Jacksonville, very surprising. And I think a lot of fantasy owners who had him over the last few years are like, that's my guy, got him from nowhere and ended up being something. I guess the question is, what has he become with the Jets at this point? Because Michael Carter has really taken a lot of the red zone snaps, even with Breece Hall there. So what is James Robinson at this point? Is he a hold? Is he a play? And we know what Etienne is the rest of the season. And that's, you know, borderline RB1 at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think that James Robinson's probably just a hold, certainly would not start him this upcoming week, doesn't know the playbook, anything like that. I would imagine Michael Carter is probably just going to slip into that Breece Hall role. For whatever it's worth, I've never really been a big James Robinson guy outside of that first season when he was such a good waiver wire pickup. His median yards per carry this year is below 2, which means a majority of the time when you were handing James Robinson the ball, he is getting less than 2 yards. Pretty much saved his fantasy stats this year with, I believe he's got 3 runs for touchdowns over 40 yards. You take those away. Hasn't really been used in the passing game. Is a pretty good pass blocker, but so is Michael Carter. That was one of the reasons why Michael Carter was playing in the red zone and things like that over Breece Hall. And to be honest, I would also think Ty Johnson is probably going to get a crack at some of those long down and distance snaps, even before James Robinson. No way to paint this as good for James Robinson if you were using him on your fantasy teams. The surprising thing to me is that we had a running back trade and neither the Cleveland Browns guys were involved. You know, Dearness Johnson and Kareem Hunt not moved. Mm-hmm. I kind of half expected the Denver Broncos with they placed Mike Boone on the 4-week IR. I kind of half expected them to make a move for Kareem Hunt or Dearness Johnson. Still think there's a decent chance that I believe the trade deadline is Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Still think there's a decent chance one of those guys gets moved. But I mean, if Michael Carter's out there in your league, I would not view this as a reason to not bid on him. Essentially, I still think that in, you know, 10 team leagues, shallower 12 team leagues, Carter is the guy you want in the Jets backfield.
Yeah, and we've got about a minute to go. As far as the Colts go, I mean, they have to draft like a high-end quarterback next year, right? Like, they just cannot try what they've been doing.
I mean, we've been saying that for a long time. You know, they could have found a way to get Pickett. I think, you know, give me Malik Willis over Sam Ehlinger, right? Yeah. I mean, I believe the Colts passed over Willis 4 times. They passed over Howell multiple times. They passed over Matt Corral, Bailey Zappi. They passed over him a couple times. I mean, I just think that clearly it's become untenable what they're doing, you know, trading late round conditional picks for 35-year-old quarterbacks every single year. It's just no way to run a team, really.
Yeah, no, and I think that has to change in the offseason, although the Colts are still actually in this thing, believe it or not, with such a weak record in the division. All right, coming up next, time for our fantasy standouts here on the show. We'll go through the upstart Bears and the disappointing New England Patriots. That's coming up next right here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock, we're back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. The Bears beat the New England Patriots on Monday Night Football, a game that really got away from the Pats late. Of course, early on in the game, they started Mac Jones. He then was taken out of the game for ineffectiveness or injury. Who even knows at this point? Bill Belichick would not reveal anything today. And then Justin Fields and the Bears go on to win. So let's take a look at the fantasy standouts from last night's game. And, of course, Fields leading the way. And Davis said one of the best games he's played in his career, that's for sure, since his days in Ohio State. 179 passing yards, 82 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns, and 1 interception. Both Bears running backs were playable, interestingly, yesterday, as David Montgomery scored a late touchdown to make him playable with 62 yards. Khalil Herbert had a receiving touchdown and also rushed for 62 yards. And then Darnell Mooney had a really good first half, 3 catches, 53 yards, and then was kind of quiet the rest of the game. So naturally, the Bears are not going to be a team, Davis, on a week-to-week basis you really can count on scoring 25, 30 points. But they certainly did it last night against New England, and a lot of it was the turnovers putting them in good position as well.
Yeah, it felt like every time they got the ball, they were in a good portion of the field. But look, if Justin Fields is going to be running this often, he is going to enter himself into the conversation for being a weekly fantasy starter. I mean, Daniel Jones has not had an effective season passing the ball, but he is still well within the top 15 quarterbacks in fantasy point scoring because of the rushing points that he's adding. And Fields also has been I don't really want to say lucky, but he has gotten kind of lucky with some deep throws here and there, which has padded his passing numbers a little bit. Still not really wanting to start Darnell Mooney in fantasy at this point. I mean, he is one of the top 10 guys in the NFL in target share, but the Bears are throwing the ball pretty much the least in the NFL. I do think the emergence of Khalil Herbert is a real thorn in the side of David Montgomery. Matt Eberflus said before the game he was planning on riding the hot hand at running back He was exactly true to his word. When Khalil Herbert was running well, David Montgomery was on the sideline. And Tressan Ebers is stealing a couple snaps here and there. Not great for either one of them. It's just really unfortunate, though. Like, David Montgomery and Josh Jacobs did spend all offseason getting drafted right next to one another. And, I mean, Montgomery's been fine, but certainly he is nothing like what Josh Jacobs has been putting together for the Raiders. In general, the Bears, not really that interesting of a fantasy team. It's you know, Fields is a streamer. You're starting Montgomery if you have him. In deeper leagues, bye weeks, injuries, I think you could get away with Khalil Herbert and maybe Mooney if you have a really wide receiver weak team.
Yeah, feels like fading Bears is probably the way to go. I really honestly don't even know what happened last night, to be honest with you. But let's take a look at the Patriots. As Bailey Zappe was the leading passer, he came in late in the first quarter for Mac Jones and immediately looked like the better quarterback. And then that just ended quickly. But he did throw 185 passing yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. Ramondre Stevenson, his receptions really put him over the top last night. He had 8 for 59 yards and a score, also had 39 rushing yards. Devontae Parker was the leading receiver in terms of yards. He had 3 for 68. And Jacoby Myers has been pretty consistent about every other week, Davis, scoring a touchdown for the New England Patriots. Not every week, and I guess guessing, that's kind of the hard part there. But, you know, I don't know where New England goes here. This is a real tough one. I'm going to guess Mac Jones is probably going to get another shot at this. They invested a really high draft pick. It definitely looks like Zappe brings more to the table. I mean, maybe we do something we haven't seen in a long time, Davis, which is New England plays both guys. I mean, usually that's a college thing. It's not really a pro thing, but maybe this is what they do. I don't know. But they're going to have to make some sort of decision, at least after the year. I don't know what they do the rest of the year.
I think Mac Jones will probably come in. You know, had Bailey Zappe led them to a come-from-behind win here, you know, they're down. He comes in, throws a touchdown pass to Myers. They score a touchdown again. Then the Bears get a quick field goal. Then Zappe turns the ball over. Then just that does absolutely nothing in the second half of this game. Then I think the Patriots coaching staff kind of has to have a decision to make. They got to talk about it. It seemed like what happened last night for the Patriots was that Mac Jones wasn't exactly sure how his ankle injury was going to react to a live game. So they were planning on playing both quarterbacks a little bit. Although the weird part was it was reported that that information was not shared with their Patriots teammates, that that was pretty much a decision and a conversation that happened inside of the quarterback room, but was not shared with the offensive line, with the wide receivers. And I mean, that is a weird dynamic as a team in general. And I mean, again, to be fair to Mr. Mac Jones, the touchdown pass that Bailey Zappe threw, not a great pass, right? Jacoby Myers falls down, kind of like falls into the end zone. It was a fine throw, but Mac Jones probably can make that throw as well. It was a busted coverage, and I mean, the team did spend number 15th overall pick, a first round pick on Mac Jones. First round quarterbacks historically get a huge leash. I mean, can you imagine if a free agent quarterback was playing the way Zach Wilson was playing for the Jets? He'd be benched so fast. So I think we'll probably see Mac Jones next week. And the Patriots, I mean, this is an example of how good and smart of an organization they are. And I saw some people making this comparison on Twitter last night. The Patriots, even when they had Tom Brady, they pretty much took a quarterback in every draft. You know, Jared Stidham, Jimmy Garoppolo, Danny Etling, Zappe when they already had Mac Jones. Like, because what you could trade those guys, maybe you develop a really good backup quarterback. Because, like, look at how much some teams spend on their backup quarterback. Some teams are paying a backup quarterback $7-8 million against the cap when they could be paying them fifth round rookie money. You know, that is a huge competitive advantage. So I think they're fine. I think the Patriots are fine with the knowledge that Zappe is a break glass in case of emergency guy. They can win games with him if absolutely necessary, and they want to try and see what they can build with Mac Jones.
Yeah, I think Matt Castle was a guy in the past that the Patriots had. They got a lot for him, yep, if I'm not mistaken. Ryan Mallett, I think, was another one that they drafted very high. I believe they, yep, got a first or a second round pick for him too. So that's a really good point. You know, there definitely is that possibility, I think, moving forward. Going back to the Bears here for a minute, I mean, this is a team, Davis, that I think when you look at the results this season is probably the single most unpredictable team in the NFL. Like, we've seen Tampa Bay struggle and we've seen, you know, Green Bay struggle. It's like nothing new. But the Bears are just so up and down. I mean, to think that two of their wins this season are at San Francisco and at New England, like, I mean, I don't know what to expect with them week to week.
Yeah, the Bears, they just kind of play that high variance style of football. They run a really limited number of plays on offense, and they try and play keep away. I would say the Jaguars also. I mean, the Jaguars are 2-5, but then when you pretty much look at all of their metrics, you know, look at their defensive touchdown that would have put them up 14, and he fumbles, and the ball goes to the defense, and then they get the ball ready. They could have scored to go ahead and end up winning that game. Christian Kirk gets tackled on the, you know, basically the 1-inch line. I maybe even thought that he was in. I think that, which we talked about this a little bit yesterday. I mean, this is what the NFL wants. The NFL wants these 10-point underdogs to be winning. Absolutely. And like they love the parity. Although I would say, I mean, it is definitely leading to crappier football. Like I want super teams. I want there to be six versions of the Bills, you know, mostly because that makes fantasy football better. But not knowing who's going to win a game is like still pretty enjoyable.
Yeah, I think, you know, next couple of weeks, I believe you'll start to see teams go the other way. I mean, Carolina, I don't know how they won that game, but I would not expect to see a lot more wins. Houston, the same. Looks like Cleveland is ready to pack it in, at least until Watson comes back. My guess is that will even out at the end of the year. But right now, parity is just running in full in the NFL, no doubt. All right, coming up next. Huge slate tonight in the NBA. We're going to go through some pricing over on DraftKings. We'll help you out set a lineup. So don't go away. We got plenty more to come right here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock, we're back talking NBA basketball and who to play tonight right after this quick timeout. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Four games tonight in the NBA, a couple of really good matchups, including Golden State and Phoenix. We're going to dive into this now. Davis is here. Of course, we're going to tell you who to play in Daily Fantasy, Davis. So a four-game slate tonight. You know, naturally, here we are in the first week of the season. New Orleans has some pretty significant injuries. That's something to definitely keep an eye on for them and not only for their opponent. And then obviously just trying to wade through how many players you want in that Phoenix-Golden State game tonight, because that has a chance to be a pretty high-scoring one.
Yeah, I mean that's that is the name of the game with NBA DFS. Is you got to be monitoring the injuries pretty much up until lock. And that Phoenix Golden State game is also pretty interesting because I just am I'm not that certain that Phoenix is going to be able to hang with them. Like right now, the Golden State Warriors just kind of look like the Death Star. I think that maybe there was a little bit of concern this season that the Draymond Green, Jordan Poole stuff was going to limit them. That has definitely not been the case. The Warriors lead the NBA in total points scored. They are just launching three-pointers. They're making 37% of them. I mean, they've been absolutely unbelievable on offense. So a lot of their games are going to be good. The issue is you find this a lot of the times with Curry is like, he's just not going to end up playing the entire game because they're just running these teams out of the building.
Yeah, no, it could be tonight. We'll see, although the spread is 2, so you would expect a closer game. Let's take a look at the pricing tonight. We'll start off with the highest priced player, who is Luka, who he is 11,100 tonight at New Orleans, and Dallas is a 4.5-point favorite. I guess that tells us probably some injuries involved there. Steph Curry is 9,900. Devin Booker is 9. Bradley Beal is an interesting one here at 8,400. We have CJ McCollum at 8,000. And then Cade Cunningham tonight at 7,900, Davis. All right, so let's start building a lineup.
Yeah, so Luka Doncic, I mean, he's the absolute highest projected player of the slate. By over 11 points, you just really are not going to see that all that often. Should be, pretty much the building block of what we are doing tonight. Devin Booker receiving a really strong projection. Certainly will not be as owned as he could be in these spots. You know, the Warriors, they play these up and down games, but I think a lot of people are going to opt to build with Luka Doncic and maybe even Curry instead. I do think, though, that you got to be pretty careful with Curry's minutes, as I mentioned. Like, look, he's kind of entering into his age 34, 35 season. When they can steal him some rest, they are definitely going to attempt to do that. We also have some pretty good value plays at the position tonight. Trey Mann started at point guard for the Oklahoma City Thunder on Sunday because Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is, reportedly dealing with a hip issue. I don't know if he actually has a hip issue. I think Oklahoma City is looking at this hot start by the Utah Jazz and saying, great, I can't wait. Beautiful. Houston, Utah, win all these games. We're gonna try and win as few games as possible. Luke Kennard in that game against Oklahoma City, he actually played in the closing lineup for the Clippers, their opening night of the season, because they are, they're trying to bring Kawhi back as slowly as possible. Actually, probably would expect Kawhi to just not play tonight against Oklahoma City. Would not surprise me for this to be one of his rest spots. I don't really think that they would need him here. And then talking about that Golden State Phoenix game, our guy Chris Paul, all the way down at $7,000 on DraftKings. I mean, just if Chris Paul played 36, 37 minutes here, this was one of the games that the Phoenix coaching staff decided they really wanted to go for like seeding purposes. I know it's really early to start thinking about stuff like that, right? But that's a huge tiebreaker. I mean, winning this game would actually be huge edge up for them for the rest of the season. And then I do wonder if John Wall is going to get a start here. I wonder if they give John Wall 28, 29 minutes against Oklahoma City. He has looked unreal to start the year.
All right, let's dive into the forwards now. And naturally, Kawhi Leonard is going to be near or at the top. So dicey selection here if he does not play for sure at 8,300. You'd have to sub him out. We have Christian Wood, probably a double-double in store tonight, as he is priced at 7,600. Wiggins is at 7,100. Kyle Kuzma is 6,900. Sadiq Bey at 6,100. And then is this going to be another Lu Dort season for Davis? I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, I mean, Dort season, I would imagine that part of Oklahoma City's development stuff this season is going to be figuring out, can we play Lu Dort on the ball? Can Lu Dort be our version? I mean, obviously, Dort is never going to be Kevin Durant, never going to be Kawhi Leonard, never going to be Paul George. But, I mean, if he can be a guy who can create his own shot and run some pick and rolls, that's going to be a huge advantage for them. If Zion does play, so Brandon Ingram is in the concussion protocol. If Zion does play, he's listed as questionable by the Pelicans right now. I would imagine that at 8,700, he's got to be one of the better plays of the slate in terms of his projected ownership and his ceiling. This is a really good game for them against Dallas. Dallas certainly has zero guys on the roster who can hope to contain him at all. I mean, Zion is an absolute runaway freight train, and the Mavericks play so small. We got some more value options at this position as well. As I mentioned, I think Kawhi is probably going to sit tonight. That would open up a lot of minutes for Norman Powell. And we are going to be, Craig, we're going to get so sick of talking about these wing players on the Clippers throughout the season, because they're so good as a team and their minutes are going to be really unpredictable. I mean, I've already mentioned four Clippers, haven't even talked about Paul George, haven't even talked about Nicholas Batum. Like, they have so many guys that they can run out there. But I think Powell is probably the one who is going to have the ball a ton, especially with Paul George dinged up. Right now, Dante DiVincenzo has been getting a fair amount of minutes for Golden State. And I do need to mention Aaron Wiggins for Oklahoma City. He played 27 minutes the other night. He is the minimum salary on DraftKings tonight, actually $100 more than the minimum, $3,100. So he's probably going to be one of the more popular value plays tonight.
All right, and now let's cap it off with our center position. We'll start with Jonas Valanciunas, who is priced just under 8,000 at 7,800. Kristaps Porzingis is 77. You also can play Wood at center as opposed to forward. DeAndre Ayton tonight is just 6,700, and Ivaka Zubats is 5,900. And then Draymond Green, if you dare, tonight at 5,600 for the Warriors.
Yeah, I mean, Draymond does have, you would again imagine in a pace-up game, a game that really matters, you would anticipate that he is going to play more. This season, he is only averaging 26 minutes a game, 8 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds. But if he gets up to 32 minutes, gets up to 33 minutes, they play a little bit less of the young guys. I don't really have a read on how important this game is going to seem to the Warriors or to the Suns, but it could be our first, really, really good game of the NBA season, one of those marquee games. We have Isaiah Stewart, who is just one, like, I just love Isaiah Stewart, just kind of such a throwback in today's NBA. I guess he did hit a three to tie the game in the Pistons' first game of the season, but he's been playing, they've been playing multiple centers, so he's been getting about 28 minutes a night. He's got that good matchup against the Washington Wizards. If you're looking on the cheaper side, Kevon Looney, again, you know, if you're looking to get off of Draymond, who actually does project to be pretty popular. We got Larry Nance Jr. for the Pelicans again, if Zion doesn't play, or even honestly, if Zion does play, Nance Jr. is just kind of one of those guys who has a ton of ceiling there. I in general, I do just like playing multiple centers. It's just kind of the direction that I've been going early on to start this year, is using one center at the center spot, the other center at the utility spot. They just are such good per minute producers.
All right, let's wrap it up by talking about one of the rookies in the NBA, Banchero. I know he's off to an amazing start, Davis. You know, and I would ask you, is this sort of unexpected a little bit? Because, you know, sometimes, even we saw with Cunningham, sometimes the guys don't get off to amazing starts like him. But right now, he looks like even, I don't know, potential all-star at this point.
Yeah, I mean, he is producing absolutely great raw numbers, about 23 points per game, 3 assists, 7 rebounds. Not shooting well at all. Has only made one three-pointer, 42% from the field. Obviously, those are – it's fine numbers for a guy who is playing on a bad team. But if the Magic, you know, are 3 years from now trying to win the Eastern Conference, Banchero cannot be that inefficient. Now, I would just say the main thing is, though, is he just totally passes the eye test, right? You're watching him play. You see that vicious dunk on opening night. Like, he does pass the eye test. I think a lot of people were actually expecting Banchero to be a really good offensive player. The thing that we weren't quite certain on was, how is he going to be as a defensive player? And I just think it's too early to tell. I mean, 4 games of the season, but in general, playing a offense first or offense only center is pretty brutal for your team defense. I mean, it's one of the big things that the Nuggets have dealt with, right? Jokic is one of the 3 best offensive big men probably in the history of the game. And the Nuggets have not won an NBA championship, in part because they've never been better than, I think, 12th in defensive rating for a team. So that, to me, is even the bigger test for Banchero.
All right, well, we will see how the future looks. Again, 4 games tonight in the NBA. For those of you who missed any of this segment or you're watching us on demand, head on over to dailyroto.com. Absolutely free simulations, and will help you optimize your lineup tonight in the National Basketball Association. All right, coming up next, it's time for some fantasy or reality. We'll get into some college football. We'll also talk some NFL trade deadlines, so stay on the grid for that. And as a reminder, we've got the early line coming up next, and then I'm back with you at 2 o'clock Eastern, right here on Newswire. Our buddy Kyle Bond from the Sporting News will be on. We'll talk some soccer. The World Cup is coming fast. We'll discuss that and all the action on the pitch as well. We'll be right back with more fantasy sports today. Fantasy or reality, Sports Grid 60. That's what's on deck. Craig and David's back with you right after this quick break. Don't go away. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive bets.
Want to try a free sample?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
You only eat after you're walking 10,000 steps.
Stop it.
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
2 ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. I'm Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock for the country and around the world. That's at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. And before we get into fantasy reality, Davis, we mentioned this earlier in the show. I'm sure a lot of people have this question. Travis Etienne, who saw more snaps than ever before in his now first full season of the NFL because he missed all of last year, where do you have him in terms of the rest of the year? Because it definitely seemed like Lawrence made extra effort to get him the ball. And if there is a running back to pick up that would back up Etienne in Jacksonville, who would that be?
Probably be Snoop Connor. He made the 53-man roster. He's been inactive every game this season. Was a pretty good rusher in the SEC last year. Jamichael Hasty has been active over him through the first six games of the season because he plays special teams. He was on the 49ers last year. I actually think he got a start on the 49ers last year, but I would imagine that Connor will be elevated as the third running back. They'll probably use both of them, see who's playing better, see if Connor does okay in pass protection. As we know, that's always the hard thing for rookies. I'm going to place some bids on Connor this week. In terms of where would I have ETN going forward, I think the only guys I would take over him for sure the rest of the way would be McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, Damian Pierce, Josh Jacobs, Joe Mixon, Nick Chubb, Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, Austin Eckler, Jonathan Taylor. So that puts him in like the running back 13, 14, 15-ish range for the rest of the way. But clearly a guy, you're just starting him for the rest of the year. You're going to have some bad games. You're going to have some good games. But there's no like playing the matchups or guessing. You will just be starting him for the rest of the year, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's really interesting that his fumbling and the drops on some passes this year is sort of strange because he was just so great at that at Clemson. But we'll see what ends up happening. As Davis said, rest of the year, Jacksonville definitely committed to using him as much as possible. All right, let's turn it over now. It's time for some fantasy or reality. All right, Davis, one of the great rivalries in college football is Florida and Georgia. These two teams have played against each other. It feels like it's probably been like 100 years. And with very few exceptions, which have included renovating the stadium in Georgia and renovating the stadium at the University of Florida, renovating Jacksonville Stadium. They did play some home games between Florida and Jacksonville, but generally speaking, the distance between these two schools meets halfway in Jacksonville. And so they play this game every single year, usually at the end of October. It's called the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. All the fans from Florida, all the fans from Georgia, Florida sits on one side of the stadium, Georgia sits on the other. And we just don't see this that often anymore in college football. Usually teams just play at home, and that's how the rivalry sort of exist. Kirby Smart, the head coach of the Georgia Bulldogs, says it's time to do away with this. And it is time for us to play in Athens and Florida to play in Gainesville. Fantasy or reality, Davis? Florida, Georgia should move their rivalry game in the future to on campus.
I mean, I feel like, yeah. I feel like that is, I guess it's pretty specific, and this is not a rivalry that's like really close to my heart. It would be much more close to your heart. So, Oklahoma has two of these games. They have the Bedlam Bowl, which is against Oklahoma State. Those games are played on campus. Those games are played either at Oklahoma or at Oklahoma State. And then they had the Red River Rivalry, which is played off campus, off-site. It's played at the Cotton Bowl at the Texas State Fairgrounds. And, I mean, I think both things are fine. I would imagine the better experience, though, as both a traveling fan and a home fan, is when it goes either or. I mean, maybe you don't like maybe for whatever, I mean, for many reasons, people are not able to travel for these games and everything. So maybe you just go the year when it's in your town, you don't go the other year. I would say reality. I mean, I think that you just get a little bit more of like the fanfare experience when it's on campus versus at, you know, a neutral location. So I got reality.
Yeah, Gainesville's like an hour and 10 away from Jacksonville, and Athens is probably like 2 hours, something like that. So it is a great tradition, man. It is really one of the best because, again, you have the fans of both teams leaving their home campus. But I'm going to agree with Davis here in this, because I just think that these days are done. Like, I think the schools tend to want to make more money, you know, the atmosphere. True. And that's just kind of the nature of where we're headed here. And I know that they play, you know, the games at the Cowboys Stadium now at the beginning of the season, as opposed to playing on campus, some of those home and homes, LSU, Texas A&M, et cetera. But I think it's going away. It does sound like this is a possibility, especially in the nature of just how limited they want these teams to be able to travel to different places. Now, I understand it's a bus ride. It's an hour. It's not a big deal. It's played in an NFL stadium. But I think this is going to happen in the future. And I think that a lot of the rivalries, honestly, are just going away because of the nature of this realignment in the conferences. So not a big deal for me if they do it. But I'd be curious to know when the last one is going to be, if that's going to be in the next couple of years. So I'll go reality as well. All right. So James Robinson was dealt from Jacksonville to the New York Jets. Now, Robinson sort of was losing a lot of his time to Travis Etienne, as we saw. And last year was sort of a debacle there, because Robinson was probably better than anybody else that they had, but Urban Meyer wasn't playing him. Popular player in Jacksonville, now goes over to the New York Jets. We've heard some rumors as far as some other trades are concerned, and this has been an active deadline. Christian McCaffrey has been moved. James Robinson has been moved. So maybe there is more to come. Kareem Hunt is another name that we have heard. He'll be a free agent at the end of the season. Quite frankly, Davis, I don't know why he's still on Cleveland being a free agent at the end of the season. Feels like just a bad organizational move to keep him. Fantasy reality will see another starter traded before the NFL trade deadline.
I guess this would be contingent on the word starter. Like, does that mean starter for the new team, starter for the old team, fantasy starter? Okay, fantasy starter. I got reality. I think there are two names that I'm going to center in on here. One would be who Craig was just talking about, the Cleveland running backs, Kareem Hunt or D'Ernest Johnson, both of whom, Hunt is a fantasy starter now. D'Ernest Johnson, if he gets traded to the Broncos or wherever, I think would end up becoming a fantasy starter. The other one is Chase Claypool, who I've never understood why the Steelers don't like him. But clearly, Chase Claypool and Mike Tomlin do not get along. I mean, I feel I don't know anything. I'm not inside the locker room. You know, Mike Tomlin's not texting me. But it's just become pretty clear over the years. I mean, Claypool scores 11 touchdowns as a rookie and then, like, basically, like, just keeps getting benched for Ray McCloud and Steven Sims, and they draft George Pickens. Like, clearly, there's something there that Mike Tomlin doesn't like. Rumor are the Packers are in on him. I think the Kansas City Chiefs should be trying to trade for a wide receiver. I mean, pretty clearly, they need someone who can beat man coverage. And then the other one is Brandon Cooks. Now, Cooks is the hardest one to trade. We've talked about this on the show before, where the Texans have to eat a bunch of dead cap, and Cooks has a monster cap hit the next 2 years. But it sounds like the Texans have been fielding calls on him. So I'll go reality. We will see at least one fantasy starter emerge as a result of the NFL trade deadline.
Yeah, it does feel like this is a possibility. You know, Antonio Gibson is another name that is out there. Is coming off a good week. I think Washington would be wise to move him. You know, the other name that's come up quite a bit, and what would this guy do for another team? I know it's very difficult, and they're saying they'll build around him, but Davis, put DJ Moore with a good quarterback, and what could that guy be moving forward for any team? I mean, maybe the team, by the way, that he just played against this past week, or even in Green Bay. What would DJ Moore do with Aaron Rodgers, Davis, the rest of the season? I think teams have to at least explore that. I thought one of the Seattle receivers may have been moved, but now, obviously, with Metcalf out, I don't think so. Maybe Lockett is still a guy that could potentially go, but listen, I've been totally wrong on this NFL trade deadline. McCaffrey is going and Robinson is going. Who knows? Maybe more will go. The trade deadline will cover it for you here Thursday on Fantasy Sports Today. All right, finally, Johnny Depp is back in the news. And boy, thank goodness that trial is over with. Boy, that thing was on TV every day, everywhere. We were talking about it here on the show. You know, Depp now probably will start doing movies again here. I know he hasn't in a few years because of this trial, but he ended up winning this thing. I don't think that there was any winner, by the way, between him and Amber Heard. Maybe Heard won just because she got a lot of attention. No way she'd be able to pay that money, by the way. See all that money now she owes him? That's insane. I don't know where she's going to have that. But regardless, Johnny Depp's going on tour, and he's going to be in a band, and he's going to travel the country. This is going to be pretty cool. And obviously, Johnny Depp, big musician, too. We know that. And fantasy or reality, Johnny Depp, you'll go check him out.
In that trial, there really was not, it was not just thought all of that was super embarrassing for him. Really, really just a poor reflection of, I think, Western society in general. Not interested in the performance, not interested in giving Johnny Depp my money. I don't even go to all the concerts that I want to go to begin with. There are a lot of reasons for that. Total fantasy. Not trekking out to go see Johnny Depp's band.
It's actually in the UK. Hollywood Vampires Tour is what it's called. I guess there are, you know, some potential US dates as well. Yeah, this is obviously a fantasy. I don't even know where to begin here with this. You know, the thing is that what is interesting, because we've talked about this a little bit, is it does feel like everyone is on tour now. And anybody that you've missed the last couple of years, you're going to have an opportunity to see if you live in a pretty big city. But Davis, I just cannot come up with one good reason that I would see this. And as far as movies are concerned, I think Depp said that he would never do another Pirates of the Caribbean, right? I think he said that in the trial. I don't know why, but maybe something happened before this where they went on, or did they go on without him with another movie? I didn't think so.
I don't believe so. I mean, those are definitely like his most popular movies. Sure. I think I saw one of them. I never remembered them like being that good. I don't know. Like in First terms one. Of like all the movie franchises that exist, like being a super fan of Pirates in the Caribbean just seems like weird to me. I don't know. It seems like there are way better franchises that exist.
Yeah, no, the first one was really, really popular. It did very well. Second one was okay. Yeah. And then I think there was a third, but I don't recall it at all. But yes, I very much recall the first one. In fact, Davis, after seeing the first one, the rides at Disney World and Disneyland became the most popular ride again off of that. So yeah, no, that one, supremely popular and started the careers for Orlando Bloom, I think. I think that's kind of what launched him. As well. So yeah, definitely popular, but he said, I think that he's not doing it anymore for whatever reason. And I think they asked him like, doesn't matter how much money, millions and millions. He's like, no. So who knows? All right. Well, I'm glad that's over with. Let's move on to the Sports Grid 60. That's coming up next right here on Sports Today. Then I'll be back with you 2 o'clock Eastern for another edition of Newswire. We also have the early line coming up. And also don't forget, we didn't talk a lot of baseball here on the show. World Series starts on Friday, so I'm sure that by the time Friday comes, we'll get into that more as well. They have a few days off before they begin there. Stay on the grid. We'll be back to wrap it all up after these short messages right here on Fantasy Sports Today. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
As we wrap up the show, we'll be right back here tomorrow talking waiver wire in fantasy football, helping you out win your fantasy league. Time is ticking on the season. Let's turn it over to Davis. Time for the Sports Grid 60.
So my Sports Grid 60, aptly enough, is about the waiver wire that Craig just mentioned, because this is the part of the year. There's an ethical dilemma that I think some people face. You're 1-5, you're 2-4, you know, whatever. Your teams are feeling pretty dead. Do you bid on the number one waiver claim of the week? You know, if you're out of it, you can't really win the championship. Do you bid on Michael Carter this week? Do you shape the championship even though your team can't make it? I think at this point of the season, it's still fine. Where it gets real tricky is, you know, week 12, week 13, when you're making bids for the consolation bracket or whatever. That's when I think it gets a little bit. For my part, I just always make the bids. I treat it like a miracle can always happen. But I do always think that's kind of like an interesting little peccadillo of playing fantasy football.
Yeah, there's one thing that I've been seeing percolating on social media more so this year than in years past, and that is the notion that it is important if your school has college game day coming to town. And people complaining about this every single week. Now, here's what I don't understand, because for somebody like me who's long out of college, and somebody like Davis who's long out of college, and even our producer Brett who is long out of college, who cares? You're not going anyway. Like, if you live in the city that your school has the potential to go, then maybe you would wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, get completely drunk, and go watch Lee Corso put on something on his head. I get it. But beyond that, does it really matter? Because not only are you not going, but you're probably not waking up Saturday morning to watch this on television anyway. So what is the complaining all about? If your team has College Game Day come to your city or not? I don't get it. You're not going anyway. Who cares? That'll do it for our show today. Thanks to our friends at LTN, of course, our graphics department, for our producer, Brett Levy, and my co-host, David Maddock. I'm Craig Mitch. Have a great rest of your day.